I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Join us for the Bud Light Falcons Patriots watch party. When I say us, I'm talking about the radio station. 1 p.m. at Hammerhead Seafood and Sports Grill in Suwanee. You can watch the Falcons battle the Patriots. Abe Gordon's going to be out there, Freddie the Falcon, the cheer team, and you can compete in Bud Light football toss to win an all-exclusive, inclusive trip to Las Vegas to compete for Super Bowl tickets. And you could also win some Falcon tickets, autographs as well. There's a lot of stuff, guys. Got to be 21 years or older, and please drink responsibly. Just speaking about the Super Bowl real quick.
Yes.
We got another Super Bowl coming, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
We got another one coming.
I think we've got another one. Look, right now, I'll tell you right now.
Right? Because I think it's – is it 29 or 30? Somewhere around there, right?
I still think we could be – usually if you get the Super Bowl, you don't get the draft party. I think we could blow doors on an NFL draft weekend.
Oh, so do I.
Centennial Olympic Park with the city skyline, with the College Football Hall of Fame and everything else down there. The aquarium would look amazing.
You know where else you could do it, Mike? 28? Okay, 2028. Yeah. Great. Piedmont Park.
Totally.
You
same
could
thing with a dramatic skyline in the background.
Yes, you could do there at the draft party.
I just know. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, it would cut glass. I know we can throw the party. It would look epic. You know, look. I mean, at the end of the day, Green Bay just had a giant parking lot party in a parking lot. You know, we've got a lot better cool stuff to do it around. The fountains from Centennial Olympic Park, all that stuff would look tight.
Yeah. When I talk about the potential giveaway and winning an opportunity to go out there and win tickets to the Super Bowl, yeah, we got another one coming. Are we going to be any good by then? And I say any good, like consistently a playoff team. Like, I'm not talking about just winning a few games. Are the Falcons a team that people are talking about in a few years with Michael Penix now, Mike, 2-3 years under his belt? 2028.
Who's his offensive coordinator?
Would you stop it?
What? Well, that's the only – see, that's another thing, big picture. And that's why there's so much dread out there amongst our callers and texters and our audience. If you don't get this –
I'm trying to project this, how the team's going to be.
If you don't get this thing fixed pronto, right – And the young development, look, it's amazing that Baker Mayfield is as good as he is considering all the different offensive coordinators he's gone through.
It's true.
Even every year in Tampa, he's had another one. And it's kind of a quarterback killer to have multiple coordinators early in your career. Few guys can overcome that. So I'm just pointing out some potential bad juju. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm just like, man, can you imagine if we're like really good and like, hey, we're going making these deep runs and now we're the team to beat and the Super Bowl's coming to our city. Maybe we could beat Tampa like they did a few years ago when they played in the Super Bowl for the first time that it was hosted. You know,
right.
only team to ever play in a Super Bowl in their own city. Either way, it's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're waiting on Raheem Morris. He's going to join us. A couple of things going on around the NFL before we get to Ra. Lamar Jackson, Mike, saying that he's expected to be out there. That's a Thursday night game. They take the Dolphins on. So Dolphins, quick turnaround. Will they look like they did against us? Was this the launching point for that Dolphins offense? I find this game interesting now. Like,
right?
I didn't 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, no Lamar. Dolphins are terrible. All of a sudden now, I'm watching because, first of all, the Ravens are in a must-win situation. They cannot lose anymore.
Their percentage, even though technically we've got one more win than them, their percentage for the playoffs is higher because of the nature of the AFC now.
Sure, sure.
So, and some are saying what they just did last week may have just kept them alive, you know, until Lamar comes back and does his thing and it becomes Superman down there. But, yeah, that's interesting. You're right. Because all of a sudden, Coach Bra, we just bumped. He just got 3 weeks of lifeline.
He did.
And Ross was not intending to fire him before they played us, and so there you go.
Yeah, that's the Thursday night game. Bears signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He was released by the Ravens earlier this month, and you've seen a bunch of this, by the way. The Patriots traded Keon White to the 49ers. They are just desperate for pass rush. Bosa got injured. They exchanged basically a 2026 six-round pick, and then Kyle Duggar in exchange for a 26 six-round pick to the Steelers. They made two deals yesterday, and people were like, why are the Patriots selling? because Mike Vrabel realizes these guys are not going to be a part of his big plan.
Right. He's got guys, and even though you'd say, well, that's a guy you'd like to have for depth, he's nope, don't need it. So let's go get a six-rounder, and like his old boss, when he had his fastball, keep you know, stockpiling those picks, which the so the Patriots' hallmark.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hey, man, as far as the Vikings quarterback situation, it's kind of interesting that Carson Wentz says that he's following the team on this. But, Mike, he didn't necessarily want to get surgery. He has not had surgery yet. He talked to the local reporters there today in Minnesota. Remember, McCarthy's injured.
They're going to kidnap him and throw him on a gurney?
Well, he didn't want to – because he wanted to feel – he felt like he was letting the team down, right? They already don't have McCarthy. I'm now injured. So he told reporters today he hasn't had surgery yet, but he's about to have his fourth child. And he said, I'm defending what the Vikings' approach is on this. They were basically saying, hey – we know you want to play, but if we allow you to play out there, this could easily get worse. Might be career-ending kind of stuff. He says, it's a competitor. I wanted to go out there, but, you know, I've got to remove myself from this situation because it's the best thing for the team.
They picked up John Walford to practice squad, but it just cleared just now on Pro Football Talk that the Vikings coach, Kevin O'Connell, just told reporters J.J. McCarthy is set to have the full week of practice and thinks he's going to go.
Well, that's good for them.
Against the Lions, by the way, on Sunday.
Absolutely, because they're going to need all of that. That Lions offense is rolling. Bryce Young, his ankle, full participant after missing all week last week. So we'll see what they do. The Cowboys, remember, you know, not the Cowboys, but the who went in there? The Bills went in there and destroyed Carolina last week.
They got 200 yards of rushing from James Cook
in
that game.
It was ugly. Ramondre Stevenson not spotted at practice today.
Oh.
That is the running back for the Patriots, guys.
Oh.
Don't know if that means anything for us, but they're saying under gray skies and a light rain up there, but it's not going to be that way on Sunday. So.
Right on.
Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Raheem Morris is stepping into the room.
And Coach just rolled in.
We are live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. We've been waiting on this all week.
What you been waiting for, man?
Man, you already know.
So have I, honestly. You know, it's not like getting back out to practice after the performance that we had. You know, getting some guys back in practice today, getting Michael out there, a lot of fun. So getting in here. It's nice, man. This is the couch. This is therapy.
All right. Well, let's start the therapy, man. Guys were asking us. We asked the listeners some questions in addition to our questions. Do you ever just lose it with this team? Do you ever like – I mean, there's a strategy, and you're a player's coach, the perception you're a player's coach. At some point, you just snap and go, you guys got to play better.
Yeah, what's that do? What good is that?
Right. That's what I try to explain to the listener.
I'm a teacher. You know, I'm a realist, and you got to go out there, and you got to get guys the right way. You got to know how to touch everybody. And you know which buttons to push, and like that does nothing. You know, like that's for you guys. That's for fans. That's for nobody. You know, you got to go out there and teach. You got to go out there and find identifiable things that you can correct. You got to get those things corrected. You got to be able to identify those problems and go fix them.
Is it all execution right now? Because we spent a lot of this week talking about Zach Robinson, the offense, and we know if you don't get the many plays, you can't work all the things you worked on. All of a sudden, possessions are at a premium.
That's always tough. You know, when you get into those type of games, that's never going to be the type of game, the brand you're playing, the football you want to play. You know, nobody wants to go out there and try to play catch-up and drop-back game, really have about 16 real offensive plays, maybe 17 real offensive plays before you get into a situation where you're down – you know, enough significant points that your offense is out the window. Now you're in 2-minute hurry up on the ball, that type of ball. That's just not the brand of football we want to play. Nobody plays in the National Football League. And we got caught in that situation early for various reasons. You know, you say execution because we tell you guys what we want to tell you. You know, some of the stuff was execution. Some of the stuff was they just outplayed us. There's a lot of different things that go into that. And we didn't come out ready to play. We didn't have a good game. And when that happens in this National Football League, you will go out there and you will lose those games in a heartbeat. You know, you never make excuses about injuries. That's happened with everybody. The people that are out there got to go out there and perform. We didn't perform.
So getting back to the yelling at guys, you just mentioned that we weren't ready. How much of that falls on you? How much?
All of it.
Okay, so then how do you attack that and know that this team's ready to go out on Sunday? Is that a feeling? Do you get after guys' butts? I mean, what is that, Rob?
That's easy. You know, like we have our meetings and we have our variations of meetings. You know, my days is Monday through Saturday when you get a chance to coach guys, get them right, get them ready, talk about what you're doing, what the plan is. There's a simple mathematic thing with everything. There's a way to win every single game, and you got to figure that out. And when you don't go execute the way to win a game, you got to let the guys know. You got to tell them, and you got to talk to them the way you need to talk to them. But, you know, none of that has to do with anything that has to do with public appearance for you guys or anybody else. You know, the guys know what we need. We can talk to him. We can tell him. I can identify the things to you guys and tell you with a very plain voice and honesty and open and honesty. I can talk about it with our guys, whoever that requires, our coaches, our players, everybody involved. You know, but that won't ever be anything that that you need to see.
Perceptions, reality, as we talk to Coach Raheem Morris, why not make a change with your OC, Coach? Perception is we don't score points. The numbers are we don't score points. Fans are saying, what are we doing offensively? And then this week you defended our OC and Zach Robinson. Why?
Of course, it's like the best offense we've had since 2016. And we've done a really good job over the last 2 years, and we've done some great things all across the board. We got to get better in the red zone this year, and we can do a better job in the red zone this year. And I believe in my guys. I believe in what they do. I believe we'll go out there and get the stuff done. I believe we have the system in place, the coaches in place. I believe the guys are in place, and we'll go out and get those guys ready to go, and we'll play football. Like, it's not about defending everybody. It's not crisis management every time something goes wrong. You got to go out there, and you got to play and do what you do and how you believe in it, and that's what we do.
I know, but you moved on from Ike Hilliard because you felt something wasn't right in that aspect. So, I mean, I know you got a lot of brain power in this building on the offense. Have you ever thought about bringing somebody as teams bring consultants in all the time to help Zach?
No, that's not how we do stuff. And then the Ike Hilliard thing, and you got to completely separate all of those things. You know, we moved on for the reasons we moved on that we talked about. You know, this is not one of those situations. It's a situation that you got to go out there and you got to get better and go out there and execute what you got to do. You know, and that's what we had to do this week, and we didn't do that. So, like, we'll go out, we'll get better, we'll do all the things we need to do.
Coach, you talked about having your meetings with Mr. Blank. Obviously, I'm assuming you're not going to share, but I'm just curious, your explanation, is it the same thing that you tell us, or is that a different kind of meeting? I think fans are curious because we hear this, hey, they met. And I've said this, Coach. Arthur Blank's done this for a long time. You were here years ago as an assistant. He's met with head coaches. So this is not anything new, but I think people wonder, like, what goes down in those meetings as far as is it civil? Is it just an explanation? Is it a conversation? How does that meeting take place?
No excuses, no explanations, first of all.
Okay.
That'll never be the case of a matter. It's the truth, right? We get into our meetings and we tell the truth about what happened and what we didn't get done or what we got done and what we liked. You know, it was never going in there and doing those things. But, like, it's a normal cadence that we meet with our owner, and I really like it. It unites the whole, you know, really the whole franchise. Talk about what we're getting done so we can be absolutely honest and upfront with everything. Obviously, we go over the medical report. Obviously, we go over what happened in the game from offense, defense, special teams category. We talk about the things that I talked about as a way to win every game. And when you talk about the things that you need to do to win that game, what we got accomplished and what we did not, why it didn't go our way, what we can do better. It's always going to be an after-action report after every single game. And all those things go into that play. And all those things are, you know, talked about. And it's not just talked about with me. It's talked about with the leaders on our offense, our defense, our special teams. It's talked about with the leaders in our building, the people that work with us that closely. You know, Terry, myself, everybody. And, like, we'll get a chance to meet with all our coaches and go through everything that we need to do better. Those are the things that we did well. How do we repeat those things? How we make them repeatable? You know, you go through everything. So it's just like one of those things that you always go through every single Monday. It's something that you go through after every single game or whatever the data game is, after action, whatever the case may be. But you go through those things, and you have to. You know, you just talk about everything and how you can do better.
It is Coach with us, guys. Raheem Morris live inside the Ticketmaster Studios here at the Branch as we get ready for the Patriots. We'll talk about that matchup in a second. When you're having struggles or a guy and you're asking J.D. Bertrand to his job to cover some of the passing routes or guys are coming through his zone, it seemed like he was outmatched. You talked about he had to play better. Was Ronnie Harris – I know that – I want to say that D'Angelo Malone was a scratch. Or do you now look at that and say we got to find more athleticism?
What do you mean a scratch?
Or was D'Angelo Malone not an option for you in that game? Or does it bring you the athleticism you need in that position?
They play a little bit different position. It was more closer with Ronnie.
Right.
Him and Ronnie play similar position. And obviously they had two different roles. You know, like obviously – Ronnie was going out that time. And he was playing sort of the three-down linebacker defenses for us. So he was able to go in those situations. We had about 15 or so snaps of that. And then we got a bigger portion of the base situation because the run that was going on and how the lead changed and how the terms dictated. So, like, normally you go in that game, you like to get that thing half across the board. You know, JD has some tough downs. You know, like, you expected that. The JD has some tough downs. He handled one right off the back, first play of the game with a real route that he was able to handle. There was a couple plays that went down in the red zone that we did not handle and a couple other plays. But, you know, like, you don't sit there and you point the finger at one person. You just say he can play better, and you know he can play better, and we're capable of playing better. But at the same time, you want to get those guys in great matchups you can get them into, and Ronnie provides that for us with a little bit more athleticism and some things that he can do when it comes to some of the coverage.
Will we see him then?
Yeah, you'll see. Okay. We've seen Ronnie last week, but you'll see Ronnie more. Right. And more as we go, because that's what the plan. When you lose a guy like Devine, you get,
We know.
Divine Diablo.
When you lose a guy like that, you gotta put those guys out there and like right. and find their roles and how they can fill those roles for them.
Because you figure, you know, it is a copycat league. Josh McDaniels, everybody will see what's been going on because it just, you know, they're going to try to exploit that if it's
oh, yeah,
if it's
for sure. Better.
Coach, no panic. There's a lot of panic out here, all right? I'm just telling you.
Well, I'm panicky.
Me too. But there's no panic with you, and I'm looking you right in the face, and I've known you for a long time. But that's how you operate. But let me ask you about just having a sense and a control of everything. We've lost a couple of games. It's not the end of the season. It's just the way that we've lost, and people are like, what is going on? So when I ask this question about having a sense and a feel for the organization and your team, what would you say to Falcon fans about, we're going to be all right, this is under control? How would you say or answer that question? Because I get this. Does Raheem have a real sense of what's happening?
We got a Super Bowl curse here in Atlanta, and it's like a hangover from everybody, and everybody feels that, right?
You're
so
right.
It's like one of those things, right? But like every organization goes through a lull in the season. You go through points, mm-hmm. right? We won a Super Bowl in L.A. We lost 4 games in a row. It's the same feel, that same sense of urgency, that same type of fight. And you had to get back and figure it out, right? And then those things happen within a year, within a day, within a game. But you can't blink, right? You got to go out there and you got to figure out what's wrong. You got to go out there and correct them and make those things happen. And that's what's going to get done, right? You don't just get panicky. And like you're talking about, right, panic can't be within the framework of our building. Panic is supposed to be outside the building. That's what's fun for the fans. That's what we love. That's what we go out there and do. But the emotional roller coaster that you guys are able to ride, we can't. We got to go find ways to get better and go play the games and find ways to win. Like I just mentioned, man, there's ways to win every single game, and there's the way to win each individual game. That's what you go through.
Raheem Morris is with us, guys. And look, I have to tell you, because you live part of it. I mean, when you go going on 8 seasons without the playoffs, I mean, pressure just, it mounts up. And that's why we feel like last year we were 6-3, and now it's like, it feels like we're getting to like a crossroads here. Like this season could go one of two ways.
There's no doubt. That's every season. And that's every team. Like you're talking, we're dealing with like a 500 league right now. And we got to find a way to get back to 500. We got to find a way to get more wins. We got to find a way to get the next one is the most important one.
Ron, let's talk about the Patriots. Drake May, 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. They are 8th passing yards in the league. We're number 1 against the pass, by the way, defensively. They're 8th in points. They're scoring about 26.6 a game. Offensively, they're doing some really good things and are going to challenge us, but they've also won 5 straight. They got a lot of momentum.
They've done a great job. You know, they've done a nice job with the young quarterback. You know, obviously Josh has done a nice job with those guys. They got up there and they're able to run the football really well. They are living off their lifeline, which is their O-line, running the ball, putting Drake in some really nice situations to get the ball out of his hand. Gave him some nice completions. He's able to go out there and throw the ball down the field. He has all the tools. He can run a little bit. He's very Josh Allen-esque, you know, so to speak. So he's doing such a great job. And then they're doing a nice job of complimenting on defense, playing really good defense as well. So, like, they're playing really well at a high level in their team, and they're in a high point. And that is a very good job by those guys. And, like, it's the perfect timing for us.
I want to follow this up with our offensive line. We've heard you say the last couple of weeks we got beat up front. Coach, do we have the right guys up front?
No doubt. No doubt we have the right guys. That's why you can challenge them that way. That's why you can be open and honest and tell those guys when they didn't play well, because you know they're capable of playing well. If we didn't have the right guys, you couldn't say that, right? You'd be nervous to say that. You would have to go out there and find different ways to win. But we're counting on our guys. You know why we're counting on our guys? Because we've got really good guys. And we got guys that can go out there and execute and get things done. And that's what I count on those guys doing this week.
You feel like they're going to meet the challenge? Because I know this happened against – was it Carolina maybe? And I think Jake came in and said, we got challenged. And then the next week, we met the challenge.
The guys do. You know, that's what they do. You challenge the guys that you know are capable of getting it done, right? You don't want to go out there and challenge guys you don't think are not capable of getting it done. I'm challenging guys that I know are capable of getting it done.
It's got to be aggravating for you as a coach. It seems like we play down to the teams, but the fans, the perceptions. I know it's the NFL any given Sunday, but we feel like, you know, Miami coming in here, that's got to be a win for us, and they just bit us in the mouth and we didn't have a plan B.
And that's why you don't play in the National Football League, because you got to show up every single week or you're going to get hit in the mouth. And we got hit in the mouth, and you got to come out there and show up in a major way, and not just one group, not one coach, not one person, all of us, all hands on deck. Right. You got to go out and execute the plan they did.
Speaking of all hands, it's forthcoming. We know we'll get the injury report's going to drop here in a bit. You feel good about Drake coming back?
I do. Feel really good about Drake coming back. Just left practice, obviously, as you guys know. So I feel good about those guys going out there. Drake was able to go practice today. Michael Penix was able to go practice today. Got some guys out there, man. That felt really good. When you get those things done, you can't wait to get to practice. And when you get out of practice, you feel like I do right now. And you feel inspired. You feel ready to go, right? What was me stuff is over with. You guys can hold that. I won't.
No, we're not holding it. We don't want to live in that either. We want to live in the next week. We're ready for New England. If the game was tomorrow, I'd be ready. I mean, that's how I'm feeling after Sunday. Coach, talk to us about some keys going into this game. About us. You always talk about it. It's about us. It's not about them. We know what they offer. We know what they're doing right now. What do we have to do? And, I mean, the obvious is everybody's going to scream at the radio right now or their streaming service, whatever the hell they're listening. And
run the ball.
Yeah, we got to run the ball, Dukes and Bell. What do we have to do Sunday?
So, you know, that's easy to say from everybody from a different perspective, right? We just talked about the Patriots and what they're doing. They haven't had a 50-yard rusher, I don't think, on the season, right? So that's the case, right? You do got to go run the football. You got to run the ball efficiently, right? You got to go do all of those things. We got two really good running backs. We got an O-line we just challenged. We got to be able to go out there and run the football. There's no doubt. But you get your quarterback back. You got to go out there. You got to score in the red zone, number one on offense, right? That's what you got to do. We got to score points, right? You just talked about how many points they average, all those things. But the same thing, vice versa. You got to go out on defense. You got to stop the run. These guys are running the ball as well as anybody. They run the ball as much as anybody. They run the ball downhill. They run the ball with big people. They've done it at two different places, three different places, whatever you're counting, whoever you're looking at, whatever the case may be. We got to go out there and we got to meet that challenge, and which we're capable of doing, which I feel really good about, and I can't wait to get to the game.
Let's go get a win.
Let's go, man.
Coach Rob, appreciate you.
Good luck.
I love it. I love when you guys try to be tough, man. It's awesome, man.
Hey, man, we gotta keep it real.
You guys are good, man.
We gotta keep it real. Hey,
you gotta keep everybody with a little bit less panic, right?
We try.
You gotta become a little bit more fighter.
Wait a minute. Hey, you get to 5-3.
We gotta have a little bit more fight in you, man.
I'm disappointed. Hey,
you gotta have a little bit more fight in you. Like, you gotta go, man. Yeah. Don't panic for me.
Yeah, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people.
Hey, man.
Thank you, Rock.
We get to 5-3. We're back okay.
All right.
Hey, man.
There he is.
Oh, man.
It's interesting, Mike. One of the things he said, and we'll get our player segment coming up. One of the things he said is he doesn't yell. He's not yelling at guys. He feels like that doesn't do anything. We're going to talk about that for a second, okay? When we come back, we'll talk about that because I know that took somebody, some of these guys, like, what do you mean? We'll get into this coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Monday, Wednesday, Sunday, Saturday, Thursday.
We will broadcast live from Metro Bottle. Not Metro Booming, Metro Bottle.
Yeah, we're going to drink some. Well, we can't drink booze. We're going to buy some booze.
It's on Marietta Boulevard in Atlanta. Come in, stock up for the weekend, and come hang out with this man. We're all over the place. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to preview the biggest games. We will also get to our picks on Friday. That's Friday. But tomorrow, we're going to be at Metro Bottle on Marietta Boulevard.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, Saturday.
Exactly. If only Apollonia hadn't been blown up, what a wonderful wife she would have been in the States for Michael Corleone. Real quick, by the way, I'm already ahead of the game.
Yep.
Talked about it on our pre-show today. Before we get back on the Falcons, and Raheem Morris said, I want to give a shout-out to KSU. Glorious win by the Owls.
Yeah,
we're now bowl eligible. Cover that 11.5. A little shaky for a minute.
Nice 17-point run in the second half.
They got it cooking. 10, especially in that fourth quarter, to cover the spread. So, way to go, KSU.
No doubt. And we were up at Kennesaw yesterday, so thanks to the folks that came out. And, Mike, on my way home, you know, I go that way by the stadium, and it was packed, man. People were out. They had a nice crowd last night. It was a little chilly, too, by the way.
Yeah,
so,
it was.
Good crowd to come out and support KSU. Coach Raheem Morris just joined us. One of the things he said as we started the interview was, what does yelling at players do? And I think maybe that might have caught some of you off guard. I don't think Raheem is not or has not yelled at players when necessary. But, Mike, I guess when your team is reeling after a consecutive loss and you know the things that are correctable, is it easier to just talk to these guys and let them know that, hey, you didn't play well and this is what we need to do? Or do you just go in? And I found it interesting because as he was saying this, I'm sitting here thinking about our conversations over the years, talking about how times have changed and how coaches, whether it's at the high school level, college level, or even the professional level. Guys, don't forget, an incident happened on the sideline of the Cardinals game this year, and a coach got fined $100,000 by his own team because of the way he reacted to a player.
That did one of the dumbest things you could ever do on the field.
So when you guys say, what do you mean he's not yelling at players? Some of these guys deserve to be yelled at. I'm not going to sit here and disagree with you. But I also think the nature of coaching has changed. That doesn't mean you don't get after players, and I'm not in any way defending how he's going about his business. What's going to prove out in the end is we win, and if we do, none of this is going to matter if he yelled at guys or didn't. But, Mike, some guys hit us up and we're like, what do you mean he's not yelling at guys? We're playing like crap. Guys, I just think a lot of these coaches look at this situation differently as to how to approach guys on a team now.
And also, I think if you're not a yeller and you become a yeller, you lose the locker room.
Correct.
You know, because you can't have it both ways. You can't be the player's coach and then come in and go, there's a new sheriff in town. Forget about it. You know?
No.
You know, we thought John Harbaugh pulled that in Baltimore. It was actually the player's council. It was Lamar Jackson. The guy said, let's take all the toys out of the locker room. No more ping pong. No more nonsense. Let's focus on the game. And with this player led, that's different. You know, who are the leaders? You asked that question earlier on this show. We'll ask Caden Ellis when he comes. He's going to be our player guest, Carl. Who are the player leaders on this team?
Yeah.
You know, for as far as accountability, when things are going south.
Well, we'll ask Caden that because maybe he knows. Maybe he's one of them when he joins us. By the way, Zach Harrison, coach did address this in his press conference. Brian Smith, who asked us. Zach Harrison is moving in the right direction. When he says things like that, again, that means guys are potentially at practice. But we probably won't know their status until the end of the week. Like he said, he feels good about Michael Penix. He's not telling you Penix is going to start Sunday, but those are the kind of things he said about all these injuries, including Billy Bowman, who was back, Penix, Jesse Bates was moving around. I just said to Mike, you know, I saw Drake London. Look, Drake looks like he's going to be all right, but I'm not a doctor and I don't know what the situation is. But all these guys were out there, and it feels like they're going to be able to get back.
We talked about D'Angelo Malone schematically. Ronnie Harrison is the guy that coach talked about. He's a veteran. He's been around the league for a number of years.
Yep.
In his late 20s, out of Alabama, played for Saban back in the day. That would be the guy. Look, Mike, that's my question. If you're going to say, and I don't know if he was not catching my question, when I said you called out, you know, J.D. Bertrand for not playing well. Well, he's not really up to that task. So maybe it should be more of Ronnie Harrison. And based on the snap count, it was 68 of 69 snaps.
Well, he said we're going to see more of him, right? That's what I got out of that. When you said, are we going to see him? And he said, you did, and you'll see more of him.
And again, you know, it's funny because last week coach was like, it's about fantasy. No, it's not about fantasy. It's about trying the right player for the job. If the 49ers are stopping Bijan, let's see Tyler Allgeier. That was our point last week.
Yeah.
This week it's panicky. Look, I'm not panicky. I'll still be here next year. Okay, you lose three games in a row. I can't say the same for the coaching staff.
Yeah, it's not panicky. It is. He's right about the hangover and the abusive relationship we've been in. That's more of what it's about.
But he's also been here for like four of those years of the last eight. He was on Dan Quinn's staff.
He was on the staff.
And then he was the interim head coach, and now he's been here for a year and not going on year two.
Yeah.
So, you know what it is. He lived it. He's right. But that's why there's this buzz around town that maybe we don't have the right man for the job.
All right, guys, we got to take a quick break. We're coming back. We'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind, more about what Coach had to say. If you missed the interview, we're going to replay it for you later in the show, so stay tuned for that. Caden Ellis is on the way. One of our defensive leaders. Caden's, again, having another really good season. We'll ask him about all the stuff that's been going on. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Are you not satisfied with what Raheem Morris had to say to Dukes and Bell? We want to hear from you, 404-726-0929. Talked a lot about knowing how to win games and then making the changes that you need to make to win the games. He said you have to have a plan going in. He said we do have the right guys up front. And these are just, I'm paraphrasing here, guys. because everybody is talking about, hey, we're getting our butts kicked up front for 2 weeks in a row. Do we have the right guys? He said he does, and he's going to challenge those guys, and he has. And we're going to see what happens in New England. Let me tell you something. If we can't run the ball in New England, that's 3 weeks in a row we're going to get our butts kicked up front.
Well, again, we just got beat by the – I know stats are for losers, Coach, but it was the worst run defense in the league. That stops. You asked him about, do we have the right personnel? And again, so we got to – there really is no answer. We've asked – and again, a couple guys hit us up, said on the text line, appreciate you guys asking a hard question. Look, all we can do is ask. How he answers, that's his prerogative. I mean, you got the best – or the second best run defense by half a yard coming at you with the New England Patriots on the road. We've already shown we've struggled, at least in the small sample size this year, Carl. Two games, we struggled. We scored 10 points on the road. None against Carolina, 10 against San Fran.
Yeah. It's just simply a situation where he made it sound really simple. You got to know how to go into these games and the plan, and you got to know how to win games. And he just made it sound really simple when in reality it hasn't felt that way. Like that's part of the issue here. And if we do, and he's not wrong. Every week is different. Every team presents different challenges. That's
right.
He's absolutely right about that. You don't go into the same game plan with the same game plan every week. That's true. But the problem is that the plan that they're coming up with, specifically offensively, is not consistently working.
No, I mean, you got to have your guys execute. And we get that. In this case, Penix, in some of the losses, has struggled getting the ball out on time.
Yes.
And scared. So then we came back a few weeks early. We've already asked those questions. How do you help? I asked Zach about this like a month ago. How do you help, you know, Michael Penix get in a more comfortable position, get the ball out quicker? You know, maybe there's not time for some of these plays to develop downfield. We've asked a million times. We didn't ask this week about getting Pitts more involved. Pitts had a ton of targets. I think he led the team in targets this week.
As he should have. With
he's
no
still
Drake
your
on the
best
field.
Athlete. When you don't have Drake London, he's got to be that guy. So we've talked about times there has been imagination. Times there has not been imagination. You know, we didn't have to mention it today. It came up in the conversation. You asked the question. The predictability of the offense. You've got multiple analysts, including a Super Bowl winner, Kurt Warner, saying we are too predictable. You know, now the only thing you could argue that, and Dave Archer made the argument yesterday, is when you're going three and out, you don't have the volume of plays to get into the kind of things that the fans want to see when you set the tone.
Right.
But you're not getting. But that's the thing. The baseline is you're not calling the stuff that's working on those three and outs. So it's the chicken and the freaking egg, isn't it?
Yeah, and we missed Drake last week. I mean, here's what I think we all need to realize: how important he is to this offense. Like there is, if we didn't know already, like his absence, Mike, was glaring. And it didn't matter who the quarterback is. Like, you just miss his presence out there. You know, if I need a third and five, I can throw it out there. He's going to make the catch. Like, he's very important to what we do every week. But hopefully he'll be back this week. More on what Coach had to say. Caden Ellis is on the way. Day-Day, I know you got some things on your mind. What's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Happy Wednesday here from the branch. All right, guys. First off, I want to do an appreciation shout-out. My son forgot some pencils, some mechanical pencils, I guess, that he had to have.
Okay.
My wife calls me last minute like, hey, he forgot those. And they're by the door. Can you take them? All right, cool. Whatever. You know, it's been raining, cold all day, right? I'm in my feels because I'm like, you guys are messing up my train of thought here because I'm trying to show prep and you keep making me stop, go, stop,
things
go.
To do.
You
know what I'm saying? You're a man with a job.
So I pull up to school and I'm like, this doggone boy forgot these doggone pencils and I got to get out in this cold weather and walk to the front office. Oh, they're doing a construction. Oh, they're actually working. Let me walk myself right here nicely. Shout out to all the people that have to bear the elements.
Oh. Yeah.
You mean people who are really working.
So you got soaked.
Yeah. I got humbled real quick when I realized that, the little drizzle on me is nothing compared to these guys that are going to be out here for a few hours trying to put this – whatever this new building on this campus is going to be.
You're paying for it. Y'all paying for it.
I do love your this is for those who remember the uniforms that Public Enemies guys wore. This is like the business casual Public Enemies.
Today. Right. So just wanted to give a shout out to all those people that have to bear the elements, because sometimes when we think we have it bad, when it comes to work, we really don't.
There is nothing worse like in the summer when you roll up and there's construction and these brothers are out on the street and it's hot.
Yes.
And they're laying that pavement and you're like, what's the holdup? Oh, never mind, man. How y'all doing? I'm not out there doing that right now. Yes. Good to see y'all.
Conversely, just for argument's sake, let's say I'm behind the wheel and you get to the construction site and no one's doing anything.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. Now, do you vocalize?
That's terrible.
Do you verbalize your displeasure?
Because
I will.
Yeah, it depends. It depends. But, yeah, Day-Day, I'm with you, man. Sometimes we do. We're just rolling around. And it's like it's not that bad today.
Right. And this weather is kind of feeling the Falcons' mood for Falcon fans this week. It's just been just – it's kind of added to the level of aggravation to be in this Seattle-like funky weather we're dealing with.
Yeah. Maybe I'll bring that up another time. It's funny you said something about the people that do the construction, holding the signs.
Yeah.
Because over there on Howell Mill this past summer.
Testify. Talk about it.
The young women holding the stop signs. I was like, I've never seen construction workers, road workers like that before.
Oh, really? Hold on. Was this like dude looks like a lady? Was she wearing like a white tank top, like a white beater and like Daisy Dukes and like boots?
No, they were wearing the appropriate work attire, but the jeans. My gosh.
All right.
How did Ginuwine say it?
In them jeans.
In them jeans.
Yes. Yes.
All right. So, sorry about that. All right, guys. Mark Schlereth.
That was a vivid flashback.
So you're saying they create a traffic hazard, would you say?
Exactly.
Distract the drivers.
They're making the issue worse. Mark Schlereth apparently takes issue with people who travel in tank tops and flip-flops, claims that he will actually urinate on the floor.
What?
So that people that are walking around in socks, he can see that they're getting urine
on their feet.
Oh, that's just nasty. That's just nasty.
So that right there alone, I was just like, dude, why would you openly admit that? Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe I just never paid attention. Are you guys the kind to get upset about people with tank tops and flip-flops on planes?
Yes. It's totally unacceptable.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't – like I said, I
got to sit next to your naked arm? Get the hell out of here. Put on a – look, unless – of course, it's Spirit Airlines. I mean, you just came right off the boat with the I'm with Stupid t-shirt and the yard-long drink you still have from Senior Frogs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
no.
The feet thing bothers me.
No, you got to have closed-toe – women, no, because they'll take care of it. But come on, dude, especially if you look like your feet have been kicking rocks. Come on, tighten that up, man.
Yeah, I'm not
where's your pride?
I'm not on the plane to smell your feet, man. Like, and people have a tendency that they wear those flip-flops or they take their shoes off and they want to put their feet up. It is the worst.
Right.
There's some etiquette that goes into this,
Well,
until you say, "Hey, put your feet down. You got stinky feet, bro."
And now you're on a viral video.
Potentially. But I'll take that case, Mike. No, man, look, I think that's the thing. Mike's right. People don't have that respect for each other. Who wants a hairy armpit next to you? And, you know, that's the thing, too. It'd be different if a guy is, you know, taking care of himself. Most guys are wearing tank tops on a plane, let's be honest. They got an afro under there, okay?
Right.
I mean, like, they raise their arm. Next thing you know, it's... I'm not all for that.
If I'm on a puddle jumper from, from Jamaica to Grand Cayman, a tank top's acceptable.
Right.
That's it.
Puddle jumper.
Correct.
That's it. You're
but
right.
See, and I guess for me, I've never paid attention to people like that, so maybe I've been fortunate enough to not have sat next to people like that. So I guess maybe that's why it's never bothered me.
They out there.
Yeah. But for Schlereth to say, going back to him.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much. That's a little bit too much. That is. That's too much right there.
All right, last one. Manny Pacquiao claims negotiations are being had for him and Floyd Mayweather.
Who? Who did you say?
Manny Pacquiao.
Where's this? They got a time machine built for this?
Do you know how old Manny Pac is? Do you know how? Mayweather hadn't fought.
He's 49.
Come on, man.
Wait a minute. You and I witnessed Manny Pacquiao's death against.
He got knocked out.
That was a Mark.
He got knocked out.
That was the fourth fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the way the Filipino fans reacted.
But that's what I was going to put. That's what I was going to put. Why would they even want to consider
He's
this?
Never been the same since that knockout, man, in my mind.
Well, at some point, bro, you got to call it quits.
Especially at that age.
You've taken a lot of licks to the head, okay? The idea, first of all, Floyd doesn't need the money.
No.
Okay?
He doesn't, right?
Pacquiao doesn't either, though.
Yeah, it's true, but he's undefeated. Floyd's legacy is set in stone. Like, if I'm Floyd, I'm laughing at this. There are negotiations that are ongoing.
Supposedly.
Look, I'm going to tell y'all like this. Y'all got me once. Y'all ain't going to get me again, okay? That Mike Tyson crap that y'all threw at me, You got me all excited. I'm like, Mike might knock this guy out. Brother walking to the ring with two knee braces. I knew I was going to have a long night. Y'all not going to get me again. You're not going to. Pacquiao, they'll have to wheel him out in a wheelchair. I'm just not doing it. I'm not buying anything. No, I'm not interested. Mike's right. We saw these guys at their height. It was incredible.
Right. Yeah.
Those fights were unbelievable.
And he already lost him.
Well, you know what?
He lost to Mayweather 3 years after Marquez knocked him out and Pacquiao Marquez four.
And that's the problem with that.
And Mayweather beat him up.
That's the thing for me, that we didn't get that fight, that first fight, when we really should have got it.
No. Remember we got Canelo Pacquiao. We got Canelo and Floyd too soon because Canelo wasn't ready for that one.
Right. And then we got Pacquiao and Mayweather too late.
You never get – you're right. You just never seem to get the fight you want at the right window. Just like – you know, we never got to see. Think about all the juice for the heavyweights back in the day. All that juice, that's all the years out of the balloon now.
Yeah. No doubt.
All right, guys. Well, besides the now the construction workers in the jeans, that's what's on my mind on a Wednesday.
What kind of booty are we talking about?
If they're back out there this summer, I'll
let
you know.
Is it a backfield in motion?
That's funny. Good call, O. And them jeans. All right, we're live at Flowery Branch. Coming
up. Don't wear a tank top on the plane, guys.
Don't
some self-respect.
Don't do it.
If you're flying Spirit, you have no self-respect anyway, so it's a moot point.
Wes Durham's going to join us. If you miss Coach Ra, we'll replay that for you in the 5 o'clock hour. Caden Ellis is going to stop by. As a matter of fact, Caden Ellis is here.
Scrap that commercial break. Are we going to roll the commercial break?
Do we have time? Oh, are we going to come back? We got to come back? We're going to do it now. Caden Ellis stepping into the room. Caden's like, good, I'm happy, y'all. Thank
we
you.
Wait. Caden Ellis waits for no commercial break. What's up, big man?
I will wait.
Brother, appreciate you, man. What's happening? How you doing?
Man, I'm blessed. How are y'all?
Man, we're good. Frustrated. I mean, are you frustrated with what's been happening here the last few weeks?
Yeah.
How you feel?
You know, we're at the point now where I'm focused on the next week and I'm working and I'm back in the process. You know, you have a great game, best game of your career. When that next Wednesday comes, you better be back grinding and working and just, you know, you got to take the corrections still that you had from your best game ever and move on. Right. And the same goes if it's your worst game ever, and that goes for the team as well. So, you know, we're back on Wednesday. Got to be in the process, and there's different things that we're doing to improve our process, but we're still in our process, focused on that, moved on to the next game, and just excited to go to play the Patriots.
Caden's a veteran. Obviously, you've been in the league, and you know the business. Is there – I mean, you're considered – we would think you're a leader on this team. At some point, do guys take it upon themselves to talk in that locker room or talk in the meeting rooms about what needs to happen?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, being around – the best leaders I've been around. I've been on teams that have won 13 games. I've been on teams that have won, I think, lowest I've won is 7. You know, I think the best leaders feel the room, feel the moment, feel the atmosphere. It's not one, you know, every team that loses by 30 shouldn't have the same response if they want to go and win the Super Bowl from there on out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It really depends on the group and you know, I'm thankful for our group. I'm thankful for Ra and the continued positivity that he has and just the belief. You know, always glass half full. And now let's look at ourselves and let's also see, you know, what do we have to address? What do we have to fix? How are we going to work harder, better, smarter? But, hey, come on. Smile. We're good.
Okay.
We're blessed. And let's get to work.
48 total tackles leads the team in that area. 1.5 sacks, guys. He's been playmaking all year long, as he has done since he's been a Falcon. It's Caden Ellis here with us on Dukes and Bell. It's interesting you say that, Caden, because I asked Coach about yelling. Mike was like, you yell at guys. And he was like, no, that's not what we need. Like, and I find it interesting you were saying you appreciate his positivity. Talk to us about that atmosphere and the vibe. I'm not saying you guys don't ever get yelled at, but I am saying that like the approach, okay, we lost 2 in a row. Yeah, it hadn't looked good. Has the offense helped the defense? No, but what's the atmosphere when you talk about that positivity and how things are approached right now?
Yeah, belief. Again, you go back to the work that you've put in and the process and the road we're on right now. Have these last 2 weeks gone the way we wanted? Absolutely not. The 49ers was not what we wanted. Obviously close one there till the end, got up 2 scores on us at the end and is what it is, right? And then last week, you know, that's especially coming off that game against the 49ers, you're like, hey, all right, let's bounce back, guys. Come on, we got to go get this one, have to go get it, let's go win, let's go do it. And we didn't. It sucks, it stinks, but you still got to look at what you've put in and you still got to appreciate the road you're on and you still got to just, you know, keep going one step forward. Like, we got a group in there with an atmosphere that's still of belief and still right. of excitement and still of passion coming to work. And, you know, everybody smiles a little bit more after win. It's true. You can't say it's not. So we got a little bit in there, right? But I think it's being aimed and channeled in a way that's going to help us grow.
You know, we talked to Caden Ellis guys a lot this preseason, anticipation of playoffs. I mean, last year this team was a 6-3 team through 9 games. So, you know, the fans always say, is it just human nature? There's going to be one game where this guy's, the energy's not up enough. Coach has said it, he talked about it in the press conference. It's hard for the casual fan in his car to go, how are those guys not up for the game? Are you aware, when you look around, not to call out specific players, but you're like, oh crap, this is not happening.
Yeah, you know, man, we're playing in the National Football League. We're playing a kids' game. We're blessed. Like, let's go out and let's give it everything we've got. A lot of people paid a lot of money getting those seats. Let's make them happy. Everybody's got family watching, people watching. Let's make them happy. Everybody's going to have, well, pretty much everybody, is going to have kids that's probably going to watch your tape one day. Like, what are you putting on for them? I think about that all the time, right? Like, I've gone back and looked at my dad's, and I love watching his stuff.
Right.
Like, it's hard to find. Hard to get my hands on.
Right.
But I love going and watching just the physicality he played with, like, the mentality he played with. So, look, I know not everybody in any field of life is a self-starter and everything. But everybody's gotten here for a reason and a purpose and through a lot of adversity. So, come on, let's go put the best on tape, right?
Yeah. Caden comes from a football family, for those who don't know. Dad, as he mentioned, brother plays, which is kind of cool. I mean, I can only imagine what reunions are like, you know, y'all sitting around talking ball. Man, as far as the defense, statistically, we're ranked high in a lot of areas, right? I mean, we're pretty good against the pass. We are getting after the quarterback more than we did last year, Caden. That's obvious. You concerned in this particular game about stopping the run and going up against these guys?
Yeah, you know Mike Vrabel, since he's been in Tennessee here, like, let's run downhill, baby. Come on. Like, that's what they are. That's what they've done. That's how we got Tennessee to some AFC championships. And it's one of the major factors that he's got this team rolling right now. You know, I watch every one of their games that I can with my little brother on the team. I've watched them a lot. And, you know, Drake May's playing great, and he's a great player. But, man, they got that run game going, and it opens up a lot. So, you know, we've put on film. You know, last week, it really wasn't the 49er runs that hurt us. It wasn't the first down, downhill, second and short, downhill right. runs that got us in the 49ers game. We did a pretty good job putting that down. Really, it was like second and long or third and long. All of a sudden, they run it at us, and we don't knock it down for the 4 or 5 that you're supposed to, right? They got 7, 8, 9 on
it. Now it's third short.
And so right. that's where a lot of the yards came last week. So that's something that we have to address. We have to look at, all right, if teams are willing on second and long or third and long to just run the ball and say, hey, we think we can get them here. You know, obviously not very many teams do that in the NFL because statistically you want to throw the ball and get your, you know, these quarterbacks make all this money and the receivers that make all this money. Let's go get them open and complete this first down. So that's something we've got to look at. We've got to continue to be good on normal rundowns like we were last week. But then we have to make sure that we're dialed and ready to go. All right, they might throw it here. On second and long, they might run it. We got to be able to cover both.
We talked about it off the air and on the air about how you and Divine Diablo are a hell of a combination and what he brings, especially in the passing game. And I know that JD, it had a tough day in the office, but is there any way you can help him? Because I know sometimes it seems like the yards after the catch just killed us on Sunday.
You know, JD, since he's gotten here, I've been very impressed with just how smart he is. He wasn't a rookie last year, like coming in with him. He wasn't. He's one of the smartest players I've played with, not only in how he studies, but also instinctually. And I know he's going to bounce back. He's going to be good. You know, I didn't have the game I wanted against the 49ers, and he played pretty dang well that game. You know, I had a pretty good game last week, and, you know, he didn't have the game he wanted. All right, let's zero this thing in. Let's both ball out together, and we'll get this thing covered.
What do you and Jesse, I'm just talking about the vets, as Mike was saying. I mean, David Onyemata, there's a bunch of AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all get together and have conversations and then take it to the rest of the defense? Or is this just an individual thing where if you feel like saying what's on your mind, it's like, yo, and then you just pop off? Like, yep. How does that work for you guys?
You know, we'll keep some things in-house, but at the end of the day, you know, there were a couple things. You know, some guys got up and said some really awesome things in our, you know, our defensive meeting
sure.
after the game. Which, you know, guys really appreciated. I think people have responded well to. And like you said, it was veterans that everybody respects. Said things in a, you know, a great manner that, you know, needed to be said.
To be said.
Yep.
Yeah.
And some of the vets have come in and, again, things in-house. But there's some extra things that we got to work on. You know, a little right. more work that we got to put in. You know, sorry to the kids and fam. We'll be a little later home this week. And, works, and that's got to be the new process, and we'll keep going from there. So,
right. I think I know the answer, but I'll ask you anyway. You tune out the outside noise, but you feel the pressure because we talked to Coach, expectations aside. I mean, you're feeling the pressure now because we said to Coach, it feels like there's this crossroads for the season.
Yeah.
You can go one way or the other.
Which way is it going to go? Come on.
Right.
Like, and again, you know, I don't have social media. I don't, again, I don't have
good idea.
Stuff. But
purposely?
But,
purposely, by the way?
Purposely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever?
Yeah, when I was in, I think I got rid of it my second year in the NFL.
Just too much?
Too much, you know.
Too much negativity.
There's some poison on that thing, you know. Not only in football, but just in life, and it's not what I need.
Fair.
So,
okay, go ahead.
But yeah, man, we put a lot on ourselves too. Like, I mean, even without, like, I'm sure I could read every comment, everything that's out there, and everybody's opinion. If every fan could voice what they felt, like, I'd feel it, and I got you.
Right.
But also, like, if we just went in one by one throughout the team and the coaches and the nutrition staff and the training room and the strength staff and everybody that's here, I'm pretty sure if all of us voiced it, it'd probably be even stronger. You know, we've got the want, we've got the hunger, we've got the desire. Now you got to go win. And it's as simple as that. So at this fork in the road, let's go win.
Offensive line, coaches mentioned, this is coming from Ross, saying, hey, we didn't play well up front. You've been seeing these guys since camp. Actually, OTAs, I guess, you know, going back to when you guys early in the summer. Tell us about this O-line, man. And look, there have been games we broke the Bills off, right? We broke Commanders off for a bunch of yards. You've seen these guys operate. But then when we have bad games, or at least the last few weeks, it's been, hey, up front, we're not getting it done. What would you say about our offensive line?
Man, they're led by some awesome veterans, and we've got some guys that have stepped up big time. Really happy with Tyler, what he's done coming in. And obviously that's not what you want, to have your one-in backup tackle go down, right? Mm-hmm. And he's come in, and he's played phenomenal. Like, and I know – I mean, he's got stuff he's got – everybody does. But, like, I just sit there, and I watch the pass pro, and I'm like, dude – you're balling. Like, I'm so happy we got him. News has obviously come in, and after losing Drew, and News has just been, you know, he's doing his thing, going against all the OTAs, all camp, balling. And you know what? Like you said, they've had some great games, and I love watching those games when they're great because, man, do they free up Bijan and Tyler, and they open up the passing game.
I think it was Minnesota. I want to see you and Devine. Yep. Y'all were mic'd
getting
up.
After it.
Yep. And you come to the sidelines, and I want to say either he said it to you, and you were like, man, O-line's killing it.
They are killing it. Like, look what they're doing.
You know?
And, you know, just go be you every day, right? And it's not to say, like, you're going to go up against some great D-lines. You're going to go up against some great schemers. You're going to go up against some great linebackers, some great guys. Like, it happens in the NFL. It does.
Right.
But let's have, like, 95% of the time, you guys be exactly who we know you are and just go dominate, right? And that I mean, that's the trenches. Everybody knows it. Like, how did the Philadelphia Eagles win last year?
That's right, up front.
Was it all those, you know, special guys, stars? I mean, they got to score when they get the ball. They do. But at the end of the day, up front, O-line, D-line, it wins. It wins. Like, because that's just where you wear and tear. That's where you break someone. That's where you take the will of the opponent, is the O and D-line. So, O-line, let's go. D-line, let's go. And I believe, man, they're so special. They're special groups. And I know they're going
to
get going.
Whose will are you willing to take this weekend?
My brother's.
Is he talking any smack, by the way? Is he saying anything?
Nah, he's pretty quietly confident right now. So, come on. We good.
Right. Okay, so will you talk to him before?
Oh, yeah, we'll talk.
Okay.
We'll
go, picture we'll after, win or lose.
Definitely. All yeah, right. I took a picture after the Broncos game last year with the other one. So, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Dude, you got two brothers in the NFL.
That's cool as hell.
That's unbelievable.
Family must be unbelievably proud of that.
Oh, man, it's so much fun. Another one played for 4 years for Philly. And then there's a freshman in Utah right now. He's a baller.
How's he doing?
He just last game led the team in tackles, had a sacks, two TFLs, a pass defense.
Bro, what's in your dad? Like, these genes are unbelievable.
Oh, my gosh.
Can That's we set unbelievable. Time out. Let's get a transfer portal over to Georgia. We can use some help.
Come on.
That is crazy.
My dad's coaching at Utah. He might not be too happy about that.
Yeah.
That's not going to help.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right on, brother.
Look, we appreciate you stopping by. Always honest with us. We love your energy, man. And you're having a really good year, Caden, so keep it up. It's just – you know the frustrations, man, the ups and downs, and we're all just feeling it right now. Yeah. We're not mad at you. I'm saying the defense. We're not mad at you guys.
We got to get it done.
You guys are getting it done.
We can get more done.
We got to score some more points, man.
We can get more done. We got it. Let's go.
Caden Ellis, thank you
so
much.
Best of luck this weekend.
Appreciate you all.
Thanks, Caden.
Good job, man. Caden Ellis, guys. All right, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We will – thank you, in them jeans. We will come back and talk about what Caden had to say. More to get to here. We're live at Flower Branch in the Ticketmaster Studios. It's Dukes and Bell. you to as well. By the way, Caden Ellis said he does not have social media. And I think it's hard for players to remain on social media during the season. I know a lot of guys take a break, but we do. And we communicate with you guys. Blake says, I love what Caden was talking about. You know, you have to break the will of your opponent on the line. Look, Mike, we've said this, and we had this conversation yesterday at Twin Peaks when we were talking about, do we have the dudes, the playmakers up front, specifically on the defensive side, and do we have those guys up front on the offensive side? For me, this up and down topsy-turvy thing that we've done where it looks really good and then it doesn't, I'm not sure yet. I want to have confidence to go, you know what, these guys dominate every week. This is not the reason why we're losing football.
Right, because then you start to, you know, you start to break it down as a fan. Okay, is it the culture? Do they not have the winning culture and the mentality? We'd learned from Caden Ellis. I asked initially, he said not necessarily him, but he talked about other guys, the leaders, the veterans, taking that leadership role, you know, setting the standard, discussing it in the locker room, challenging their teammates. I asked Coach about it last week about the Ray McLeod thing. They don't have a specific players' council as other teams do, but and you do or you don't. I mean, it doesn't have to be something on your team, but in this case, the veterans have at least talked to the team about it. But as we said, a lot of folks come back to the coaching aspect of it when you're inconsistent, when you do play down to your opponents, because the players don't seem to have an answer for it.
Yeah, he said he wasn't going to tell us who stood up in those meetings this week, but defensively they had guys who needed to say some things, and I hope so. You know, look, it's funny. What it sounded like to me, Mike, again, and just kind of taking his thoughts and what he said to us, the thing that was most disturbing to them is not that they lost. It's we're giving up second and longs all damn night and putting them in position to move the chains when these are plays that we can stop. And he's like, basically, they're challenging us to say, it's second and long. We're going to run the ball on you guys. We don't care.
Right.
Like, that challenges your manhood.
Which is something that we think Zach Robinson should be doing in reverse.
Correct.
But we get away from it. Then we put Michael Penix can't make the completion. We're behind the chains. So the other thing about this is it's not Caden Ellis' fault, you know, that it's 10 men on the field or 12 men on the field, which also allowed a 3rd and 13 to be, you know, let's be honest, converted by the 49ers.
And it turned into a touchdown.
That's coaching.
That's right. It turned into a touchdown. Good stuff from Caden, though, man. If you missed that, it's online at odyssey.com. More with Coach Raw if you missed him in the 5 o'clock hour. We got Wes Durham, the voice of our Falcons, coming up.
That's Wes Drewham.
We'll ask him about our team here, but more importantly, what else is going on around the world of college football. There are some interesting things that are happening in the world of college football. Wes calls games. You guys know that as well. So we'll talk to him next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.